This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
117-106. Here's DeRozan with a handoff to Levine. Levine, topside three. Got it. Rattle it home on Connaughton.
We're back live with more of Anthony Herron and Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
The Bulls are in...
Where are the Bulls? Oh, my God. They're not where they thought they're going to be.
Purgatory. That's where they are. They're in purgatory.
In a very bad situation. And rumors today circling the teams are like little vultures just flying above the Chicago Bulls, waiting for them to just implode. And so they can swoop down and snatch up one of our, I don't want to call them big three, but one of our three best players.
One of our three. That's quite a visual, by the way. Vultures, I like the visual you painted there with the Bulls. You know, Bulls are like, you know, a carcass just lying there lifeless. But they've been just laying there for a minute. They probably got like a sunburn.
And then you know how like when you're like flipping through like IG or TikTok or something like that, like if they were to actually do a video, then there'd be like the bogus like imposing of a team's logo on the bird that's actually circling.
Right.
Those birds would be the 76ers.
Okay.
My friend asked me, he's like, what teams would want to take Zach LaVine? And I was like, the 76ers, where it would work, right? And where it would work. And 76ers is one of them. And then I threw out this wild card that when I said it, he was like, oh, damn, that actually is a really good destination. The Memphis Grizzlies.
Okay.
A little Ja Morant, a little Jaren Jackson Jr., and then a little Zach LaVine. And then I said, the funniest thing, the ironic thing would be, we'd be trading for a Desmond Bain, who's really good, but he was someone that the Bulls passed up on when they drafted Patrick Williams at number 4.
Okay.
So it's like, oh, do you want that? Do you want that kind of, you know, stories or Gabe talking about that on 670 The Score? Probably not. But when you look at everybody else, I mean, there's really not too many destinations that make sense for a guy like Zach LaVine, right? Like in Miami, I said he can't go somewhere where he's the primary scorer, right? Because then he'll just be back in the Chicago Bulls, right? Mm-hmm. So he'd have to be somewhere where, like I said, Memphis, where Ja's the man over there, right? Philadelphia, Joel Embiid is the man. When you're looking at these other teams that he can go to, you know, Brooklyn, New York, Toronto, he'd be the primary scorer in all of those. He's not going to go to Milwaukee. They got Dame Lillard. He's not going to go to Cleveland. They got Mitchell.
Are you eliminating the Lakers? You don't think the Lakers, him going back to Cali? Cali.
I don't think they have enough assets to get him over there. Might need like a three-team trade or something like that. Yeah. But the Lakers.
LeBron James.
I just saw that a video. It's hilarious. But I feel like with LeBron and AD, he wouldn't be technically the primary scorer, but he would be the primary scorer. LeBron is passive, and AD is like, bro, I'll take my shots, but go ahead, Zach, do your thing. Like it would be another one of those situations, and.
But, I mean, in the end, he wouldn't have to be the guy who's making decisions late in game.
True.
That would be LeBron. And so if it can be, you know, just talking about L.A., if they were able to figure out how to get him out there with LeBron and AD, then at least going out there, because Zach LaVine as a main scorer, that's not really his biggest issue. Now, he's not shooting the ball well right now, but when you just look at the scope of his career, his decade in the NBA, he, when he's healthy, is an explosive and efficient scorer. So you add him into a mix where, especially if you got a team with a true floor general, like some of these other teams we're talking about, and if, you know, for the Lakers example, if Zach LaVine went out there and he could be a guy who, you know, LeBron does the bulk of the ball handling, but on a night where LeBron wants to defer a little bit more or just a stretch of the season was like, you know what, Zach, go and go off for a few games. Let me just kind of play sidecar for a little bit here. But then late in game, LeBron's going to have the ball in his hands, figure out whether or not he's passing it to Zach or driving to the hoop or whatever. That to me, I think, is an ideal scenario because he gets to go back to Cali. He gets somebody else who gets to be the focal point of things, because I think at this point we can all accept Zach, as far as a championship puzzle, isn't a guy who looks like somebody who can be the focal point of a championship puzzle. But can he be, you know, sidecar? Can he be second fiddle, third fiddle on an excellent team? With that kind of talent and that kind of offensive explosion that he can access, where he can go off at 30 or 40 on any given night, you know, there's only so many of those humans walking the planet. So, I mean, I think for him as maybe a third option on a squad, but every once in a while, just go ahead and go off for 30 or 40 in a night, Zach, and that'll be what's good for us, as long as somebody else is making late-game decisions. I don't know why the Lakers wouldn't work for Zach.
Yeah. I mean, I think a guy like DeMar would be a better fit for that team for what they want to do. I think he would cost the Lakers less. Because you look at the Bulls, right? And I mean, Zach's averaging just under 22. DeMar's averaging just under 22. Like, this team cannot operate like this anymore, right?
But Zach gives you three-point shooting. Now, DeMar's trying to shoot some more threes this season, which I respect. I respect a guy who gets in his mid-30s and can still look to evolve. So I really do like that. And there's a lot to like about DeMar. There's no doubt about that. But as far as somebody who's still – Zach is, what, still late 20s at this point and has always been a guy who can knock down – or at least for quite a while now has been a guy who can knock down threes at a volume clip. So he gives you that. He expands your offense, you know, beyond the arc in a way that DeMar just doesn't at this point in his career.
Yeah, and when you're looking at, you know, Zach, and I feel like he's one of those guys where right now he's missing his shots and he's just like, whatever. Right? But if he was playing on a really good team, he'd probably, you know, be more conscious about, you know, taking high percentage shots in the right situations. Where right now, like, the last game against Milwaukee, 2 for 10 from the 3-point line. Like, and some of those shots were my biggest gripe with Zach, because he can get to the cup and he can make that three and he can, you know, hit the mid range. Is like, I just wish the offense was designed to get him the ball on the move. Too often you see Zach LaVine get the ball and it's like, all right, it's Zach LaVine time. And then it's like turnover when he gets to the cup, or bad pass outside, or forced shot where he's like, bro, what the hell? They fouled me. You know, like a lot of that. And I wish like he was like running off of a screen, starting downhill. Right. You know, like a lot of Steph Curry stuff, right? Because Zach is athletic. Zach can move well. And he can hit that, you know, three off of a handoff, because he's done it for this team. But, you know, when you're going 5 for 19, these are the last, you know, games. He's only made, in his last 10 games, he's only hit over 10 field goals twice. And it's like that we need Zach LaVine to be scoring at a way higher rate than that. And I had asked about that at the beginning of the season when I did the Bulls preview show with Chuck Swirsky, Bill Wennington. We had Will Perdue on, Alyssa Bergamini. And I was like, am I wrong for wanting Zach to score 30 points a game or get as close as possible to that? Because then to me, that says that DeMar's taking less shots. The offense is actually operating through Zach or Vooch in, you know, one of those instances. And they were all just like, no, we don't want that. That means that, you know, the Bulls offense isn't operating at a high level. But here we are with, like I just mentioned, DeMar and Zach averaging damn near the same amount. And the Bulls are everybody's looking at the Bulls like, you guys suck. Like, this is not good. And I want to say one last thing. It was unbearable to watch.
This is a punch to the gut.
The last two games.
I agree, Chuck.
The last two games, I had to stop watching at halftime. And I'm a Bulls fan, like a real Bulls fan.
Right.
And I'm watching the game and I'm like, all right, they're going to lose by 20. And like the offense is bad. There's no ball movement. Like, no one can hit a three. Javon Carter's your best three-point shooter. Like, it got bad at some points.
Time to go home!
And it was time to stay home and watch something else. But I'm looking at this team, and I'm like, how much longer can they operate like this?
We came into the season, like you mentioned, you were on the preview show, but we came into the season knowing there wasn't a big overhaul to the roster. So I do think I try to caution some folks, especially the Bulls fans in my life, try to caution folks to not expect things to be that different. Because you look at the home stretch last season where Zach LaVine was healthy and looked back to being his explosive self and was able to mount some offense individually at times, but it's still not a roster that's constructed very well. It's not a roster that's constructed for group success. You got some individual pieces that feel like they can make sense. Like, there's nothing wrong with Nikola Vucevic as an NBA player just in a vacuum. We're just looking at Vooch on his own. There's nothing wrong with Vooch as an NBA player. That's a piece you can do something with. Certainly nothing wrong with DeMar DeRozan in a vacuum. Zach LaVine, immensely talented in a vacuum. But for whatever reason, those pieces, when formed together, just have not been able to conjoin in a successful way in their time here together in Chicago. The numbers back all of that up. So what does it mean the Bulls do? Bulls are in a position over the offseason where they were virtually kind of painted into a corner of needing to run that back because they had financial constraints, they had personnel constraints, they had a couple of three-point shooters, 3-and-D guy, and let's just see if we can enhance what this is right now. And it's odd because you're getting maybe the best version of Kobe White that we've gotten, but that's still not a legit, like a high-level NBA point guard. It's a guy who can get you a little instant offense here and there. I think he's playing more dogged defense than he has at any other point in his career. So you're seeing a physically, mentally, emotionally mature Kobe White that is still not a high-level starting point guard in the NBA. And you can probably say some similar things about Ayo Dosunmu. We're seeing kind of the ceiling of Ayo Dosunmu to a certain extent here. And, you know, I think the expectations probably needed to be massaged and managed a little bit coming into the year. Doesn't mean that 4-7 is good enough or acceptable or anything like that. I'm guessing there's going to be a stretch here where they go on a 10-game stretch where they go like 7-3 or something like that, maybe 8-2, depending on what point the schedule is. It's going to happen at some point in the season because it's the NBA and LaVine and DeRozan and Vucevic are talented guys. But in the end, what's that going to get you? They're probably going to be around 500 at the end of the year. They'll be bubblicious, like right there, you know, around that play-in game territory, you know. So this is what we signed up for coming in because they did very little over the offseason, and all these guys are old enough in their NBA career where you kind of know we've seen for several seasons what this crew has been together, and to expect it to feel much different or look much different. I think we saw the best that they had down the stretch last year, and it still wasn't quite good enough.
Not at all. And, you know, the assumption was that they get back. I do like the additions of, like, Torrey Craig, gamer, yeah. Plays hard. You know, I love that they put him into the starting lineup. You know, Carter is obviously a Chicago guy, so he loves playing for that jersey. We saw how effective that is with guys like Pat Bev last year. But it's just simply not enough. I mean, when you watch these other teams in the NBA, they're just different than the Bulls, right? And I think the Bulls, a couple of years ago, you know, they had the sauce with LaMelo Ball. With Lonzo Ball. Yeah. And I feel like, you know, they weren't able to recuperate. I mean, they didn't move fast enough in that situation.
And I agree. And what still eats at me a little bit, and I'm confident, it still eats at Bulls brass. I'm sure it still eats at Eversley and Karnišević, is just whether or not this at this point, it doesn't look like this is a squad that's a point guard away from doing anything significant, while at the same time, Lonzo Ball is the only point guard that they've legitimately had since those guys have taken over as the main decision makers for the Bulls. And when he was in there, things were going well. Now, it was a half a season before he got hurt. It's been several years since that's been the case. And they haven't replaced him with any other high-level point guard since then. But if at least the roster looked at this point like, man, they're a point guard away, then there would be an ability to go into this offseason and say, well, maybe they can kind of manipulate a little something to get some point. Now, I know, you know, and it's credit to Lonzo Ball, where he's still holding out hope to be able to come back, and you know, wish the best for him, for health, for next season, and get his career jump started, whether it's here in Chicago or somewhere else. But this still doesn't feel like a team that's a point guard away from anything. Kind of like with the Bears scenario, like are the Bears a quarterback away? All right, so you got this last seven games to kind of figure out whether it's, you know, the evaluation of Justin Fields, you know, in particular, but then also as Ryan Poles has started to build pieces with that roster, does it end up looking like a roster that's maybe a quarterback away from doing something significant? And that's where, for the Bulls, as of right now, even with the new shooting coach, it doesn't at the moment here through this initial 11 games, it's not looking like a squad that's a point guard away from doing something significant, whereas a couple of seasons ago, even after the Lonzo Ball injury, you can kind of say, like, all right, it kind of felt like that a little bit. You got different guys who are trying to figure out how do we really push pace and advance the ball quickly and still play dogged defense and do some of those things that Lonzo Ball allowed them to do and look like they were becoming. And right now, at least through this early stretch of the season, doesn't look like they're a point guard away from anything significant.
Yeah, and that's the biggest issue. And so it's going to be interesting to see what direction this team goes in. I mean, because it's going to get blown up. It's inevitable. They're not going to fix things. They're not going to be some team that's going to, you know, cakewalk into the playoffs. And teams are going to be calling. Desperate teams. Teams that feel like they're close enough. They feel like they're one piece away from really competing at a high level. Because the NBA is open. It's wide open, man. There's some good teams. So it'll be interesting to see.
And the asking price should be high for Zach LaVine. I know some of the write-ups out there are kind of a little bit indecisive about, are the Bulls asking too much, or what's real legit about Zach LaVine, and how much can you really expect to get in return? I know he's not shooting it well right now, but, I mean, in NBA circles, it's recognized. Zach LaVine is one of the most versatile offensive scorers and explosive scorers in the game. So that's not something that you should just give away for pennies on the dollar. Someone else, especially if you trade him into a quality situation like some of the ones we've been talking about here, you trade Zach LaVine into a quality situation and he flourishes because you do have a legit point guard somewhere or someone else who can be counted on to make the late game decisions, and Zach LaVine is a part of some, you know, high level puzzle somewhere because he can just focus on the things specifically that he's really good at. Then you're really going to be boosting someone. You're going to be bolstering someone else's roster and someone else's championship hopes by adding a piece like Zach LaVine, a talent like Zach LaVine into it. So the asking price should be high.
Yeah, that's why, again, I feel like the offense should be running through him. He should be taking more shots, at least while he's here as a member of the Chicago Bulls. But who knows how long that'll be for. Somebody else that might garner a lot of return on the trade market, a guy like Justin Fields. Some people think that the Bears should explore options of trading him heading into next season. And we get to chat about the future of Justin Fields, the present state of the Chicago Bears, with our next guest, Bears beat reporter Alex Shapiro from NBC Sports Chicago, or NBC, excuse me, is going to be joining us after the break. So I wonder what he has to say about this Bears team. It's Gabe Ramirez. It's Anthony Herron. It's Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
He's a guy you really like to like.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year, because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute. Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
When it comes to lighting, Graybar goes beyond parts and products. We help contractors turn plans into smart designs, manage kitting and deliverables, and navigate local codes so you can stay on time and on budget. Smart, scalable, job site ready. That's not just lighting. That's like kicking your project into Graybar mode. Yep, Graybar does that.
I played against them in college. I seen them in college. I didn't really get to see them too much in the NFL, but we got the matchup in college. So I seen them during college when it was Penn State versus Iowa my last year, I believe.
What do you think of him? What was that matchup like?
I own that matchup. You can watch it on film. They was talking about he was a top tight end when I was at Penn State, and man, he was getting smashed. But now I see he's doing his thing with Detroit, so it's going to be, you know, another one of those great matchups again.
We're back live with more of Anthony Herron and Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Jaquan Brisker right there hanging out with Bernstein and Holmes right here on 670 The Score. It's Gabe Ramirez, Anthony Herron hanging out. We get the chance to talk about a little bit more about the Bears, specifically that not only Justin Fields, but that defense. Secondary is cleaning up nicely.
Yep.
Everybody's playing well, and everybody seems to be surprised. And we're like, didn't we say that going into the season, that the secondary was the best part of this defense? And now everybody's like, oh, my God, the Bears are healthy. Look at them now. And I'm like, yeah, we knew this. We just were waiting for them to get healthy. But again, we get to talk about that with our next guest. Joining us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book, Bears Beat for NBC, and, of course, host of Under Center Podcast. And the last time I saw this guy, Ant, it was like 4 in the morning, Columbus Drive, right before the marathon.
Alex, I was like, you know, after a late night, we were
not quite
went to bed.
I haven't been that comfortable around him in order to ask him out to go hang out. But maybe I'll invite him to my new bar, Roundhouse.
There you go.
And that way
there
we can all have some drinks. Alex Shapiro. Alex, what's up, man? Thanks for hanging out with us tonight.
Gabe, Ant, it's a pleasure. I would love to hang out at your bar. That sounds amazing. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
Listen, and then you take a selfie, post it online. It's like free advertisement, man. Uh-huh. Stuff like that. Uh-huh. And I got your beers. What do you mean? I'm not doing that. But maybe we won't be watching a Bears game because I know you're working, but you have been watching them incessantly, Alex. Talk to me, first of all, let's go with Justin Fields. I think a lot of people, you know, I've never gotten your opinion of the quarterback. But talk to me about your excitement or lack thereof of his return to this team.
Well, I think you have to be excited just because, you know, this is kind of the last opportunity, in my opinion, to fully evaluate this guy, especially since it looks like the Bears are going to have an opportunity to get a top-tier quarterback with the Carolina Panthers pick. So I'm excited to see what he can do over the second half of the season. So, yeah, like whether he proves he is the guy or whether he doesn't, there's ton to look forward to over the second half here with Justin Fields.
So I think there's a variety of factors in how an offense gets called and why Luke Getsy makes certain decisions in game with personnel groupings, formations, motions, like there are all these different things. Variety of different reasons why they go for fourth downs and don't. But that being said, in just sort of paring down the simplest version of when folks might ask me when Justin Fields looks great and when he doesn't, to me it's called pocket movement. It's calling him into whether it's boots and sprints and QB runs and all these other things that seem to unlock some of the very obvious physical tools that he has with his legs. And to me, like that, we saw back-to-back games of Luke Getsy doing that, and the stats back that up. And then we saw that, for whatever reason, come to a screeching halt against the Vikings, and it was a very pocket-based offense for the Bears. And then Justin Fields gets hurt and doesn't finish that game. Have you gotten to a point, as you've covered the Bears and listened to Luke Getsy and everything, gotten a general understanding of why, whether it's the early portion of this season and then the Vikings game, what's the difference in his mind in when he's calling Justin Fields into movement and certain games where he doesn't?
You know, I really haven't gotten that sense. And I'm with you because to me, it's become clear over the last year and a half. When the Bears want Justin Fields to be the Aaron Rodgers rhythm and timing passer that was so good in those Packers offenses that Luke Getsy came from, it's simply not as good as when they have him, as you said, moving the pocket going after play action, getting on the run, bootlegs, RPOs. And it seemed like last year, over the second half of last year, they kind of figured that out. And then the beginning of this year, they kind of reverted and said, okay, let's try this rhythm and timing thing one more time to see if we can get them to do it well, you know. And in my opinion, it just doesn't play to Fields' strengths. You know, over the course of the first half of the season, for the first time, I started questioning, can Justin Fields make throws with anticipation? You know, making the throw before the guy's out of his break. We've seen an uptick in trust in terms of, like, quote-unquote NFL open. You know, a guy who looks covered, but just give him a shot, like DJ Moore, and he'll probably come down with the ball. I have seen an uptick in that department, but the anticipation that's required for some of those rhythm and timing throws, I'm not sure about yet. And I am looking forward to seeing if that can take a step forward in the second half of the season. But, I mean, Luke Getsy, you adapted your offense last year. You adapted your offense a bit this year. We need to see more of that as well. Play to Justin Fields' strengths, you know? As you said, get him out of the pocket. We saw the Bears use play action to great, great success with Tyson Bagent, and we just haven't seen that same volume of play action with Justin Fields. And I'm like, why not? You know, the Bears' run game is great. He's a threat with his legs. You know, if you do the play action and then throw the ball, that's obviously great. Or if you do play action into a bootleg and now he's running, that can be great, you know. So, that's another thing I'm excited to see, looking forward to seeing, like, how do the Bears readjust their offense now that Justin Fields is back in the lineup? Can they create something that will play to his strengths better than we've seen up to this point this year?
And that's what we're all trying to figure out, because Luke Getsy said, hey, man, this offense is going to be exactly the same. And I was like, what? What are you talking about? We're talking to Alex Shapiro, Bears beat reporter from NBC Sports Chicago here on 670 The Score. Gabe Ramirez, along with Anthony Herron. To me, when you're looking at this Bears offense, Alex, I mean, it's difficult to envision a successful one with how it's operating in the present. Does that mean for you that it needs to be a different quarterback under center, or do you feel like there's other pieces that need to be different in order for the Bears to have success?
Yeah, I don't know. And I think that's what these last handful of games are going to show us. I'm not sure yet if the problem is Justin Fields or if the problem is Luke Getsy. And I think you can make a case for both, right? I talked about the kind of lacking of the anticipation throws. We've talked about, you know, the kind of confounding offensive game plans that have been put together around Fields. So maybe the answer is both need to change, but I'm not ready here in November to say definitively one way or another, but it's clear that there is a problem, right? I mean, they're probably, if things look the way they do, you know, the way they did in the first half, again, these last games, then yeah, a change will need to be made somewhere.
And I try to assume a level of, you know, kind of logic in decisions to get made with these things. And logic is subjective. You know, there might be what they view as logical reasons for why the game plan looks a certain way. But to me, it's so painfully obvious what the strengths of the quarterback are in some of these areas. I agree, Alex, that he has shown some improvement in areas that are obviously deficiencies in his game. But it seems to me that this is a coaching staff that halfway through year two should recognize they do need to win games. Now, what level of confidence or lack thereof would Matt Eberflus have in his job security and Luke Getsy have in his job security moving forward? Who knows? And I think that book is still being written here as the season closes out. But I'm wondering, how confident do you believe the coaching staff is in the idea that they have a secure situation at the moment coming into next season? The remaining coaches, at least, the ones who haven't already gotten ousted for HR purposes.
Yeah. I'm going to be honest. If I was in Luke Getsy's seat right now, if I was in his skin, I would be extremely nervous about my job security. I think it's clear he needs to show that they can create consistent winning game plans built around kind of the identity that's kind of appeared over the past month or so, which is run the ball very physically and then play action. If that translates to Justin Fields and they can keep that going and score points and win games, then things will be better. But right now, I think Luke Getsy is the guy who's more on the hot seat than Matt Eberflus, just because when you look at Matt Eberflus's program as a whole, there are certainly negatives, right? There are fair critiques. The penalties, the poor tackling, that goes against the like foundational technique-based program that he wants to build, right? His idea that if we play sound technique, sound fundamental football, we're going to get the most out of their players. So far, that hasn't been the case with the penalties and with the poor tackling, et cetera. However, that's a team that has never folded. You know, they went on an awful franchise record 10-game losing streak last year, and there was like maybe one game that they weren't really competitive in, that Lions game. Otherwise, they never laid down. The same could be said this year. I mean, the first month of the season was disastrous. Like, we can't understate how bad those first four games are, but they came out the other side, and they kept fighting, and they started to win some games, and over the last six games, they're playing 500 ball. And then most importantly, that defense, which is Eberflus's side, has looked so much better since he's taken over. The uptick in aggression, the blitzing to generate pressure is good. The fact that they've gone from the worst run defense in the league last year to now a top five run defense, to me, is remarkable, right? Normally, you think a team goes from bottom of the league to middle of the league, and that's a great step. To go from bottom of the league to top five is really remarkable. And then one more thing, I know a lot of people throw the win-loss record out when saying Matt Eberflus needs to go. I don't know how fair it is to judge that year one record against him, and I'm not sure how much Ryan Poles and the other people are holding that against him just because they tore that roster to the studs, right? I mean, Ryan Poles comes in, the first thing he does is trade away Khalil Mack, the defense's best player. And then halfway through the year, they get rid of Roquan Smith. So, you know, Matt Eberflus didn't necessarily have the tools to win. So, again, like I said, I'm not sure how fair it is to judge that win-loss record from that first season all on Flus, just because, you know, he was playing with kind of a short deck, in my opinion.
Yeah, and you have to use the same logic for Justin Fields then, if that's the case, right? Not having the talent around them in order to be successful. Not me. I have my opinion, Alex, on Justin Fields, but I think most people out there, you know, really want to be able to, you know, have a well-rounded opinion of what's happening on with the Chicago Bears. But let's stick with the defense for a little bit. I mean, you've seen Kyler Gordon the first couple of games back. I mean, you know, didn't necessarily, you know, jump off the screen, but then these last couple of games have been playing exceptionally well. Do me a favor, rank from your favorite to your least favorite the secondary for the Chicago Bears, those four guys. Five guys.
Favorite in terms of, like, the guys who I think are playing the best level of ball?
Yeah, best level of ball, guys who you'd like to see as cornerstones of the Bears defense moving forward, seeing as though they're playing at such a high level. You know, you're going to want to see what that looks like.
Yeah, I think number one starts with Jalen Johnson, you know. I can't praise that guy enough for being, you know, just continuing to be one of the best shutdown coverage corners in the league. And now that he's added the takeaway portion, he's still in his prime. He's maybe entering his prime, right? That's rare talent. He's so good. So I would put him number one. Number two, let's go Kyler Gordon, right? I mean, the difference between last year and this year is so noticeable. He's playing so fast. His instincts are incredible, right? He's just got that nose for the football and just seems to always be in on that action, and he plays that real physical brand that I know the Bears love. I know Bears fans really love watching. From there, let's go Jaquan Brisker, who I think has maybe had a little disappointing of a season up to this point this year. I think people expected more takeaways, maybe a little bit more ball production. Obviously, the injuries did not help him. And then I'll go Tyrique Stevenson, who has been picked on, as all rookie cornerbacks, you know, they all get picked on, right? I mean, we remember that from Kyler Gordon last year. Teams really picked on Kyler Gordon last year. This year, Tyrique Stevenson is kind of going through it. But I think he has the makings of a great cornerstone cornerback as well. I think he's a solid tackler. I was talking with John Hoke a little bit about it, and team really likes how he's limited explosive plays. That, like, that's one particular area in which he's grown throughout the year, is he's not given up so many deep, deep passes. And then Eddie Jackson, no fault of his own, you know, the foot just recurred. So again, I love Eddie Jackson. I think he's a great playmaker. He is an X factor when he's healthy and when he's taking the ball away. But for 2 years in a row now, it's been hard for him to stay on the field. And that has, you know, limited his impact to the team.
I love that you wrote about Cairo Santos on NBCSportsChicago.com, because I've been going out of my way to remind folks just to not underappreciate how well he's performed for the Bears. And, you know, it's kind of the one stretch last season where he hit a bit of a lull for a little while, and then immediately as a kicker, you don't get a whole lot of leeway from folks. You start missing a couple of kicks, everybody's wanting to bring in competition, move on from this guy, and you're just going to keep riding that roller coaster if you just want to keep cycling through kickers every time a guy misses a couple of kicks. He's come out the other side of that at this point and having an exceptional season. But you wrote about what went into that in the offseason for him in preparing to become the guy we're seeing this year.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we were talking about Jalen Johnson being deserving of a contract extension. I think Cairo Santos is right there. You know, that is another guy who should probably get signed to new money. So the deal with the extra points, the way he described it is he had this visual tick in his setup when he was approaching the ball. So they moved it to a different spot to try and eliminate that visual tick. And now that he's made those changes, kind of moved where he sets up the ball, he says that's gone. It's totally in the past. He's completely confident. And obviously he's been great. He's only missed one extra point. And then I noticed early in the year that he was just booming kicks and warmups, like 60 yarders and stuff like that. So I asked him about, you know, leg strength, this and that. Is he hitting the gym, et cetera, to boot it farther? And he said, yeah, a little bit. But really what he's focused on is improving his ball striking. And, you know, he realized, like, yeah, when I try and muscle it a little bit, it's not as effective as when I just hit the ball perfectly. So that's what he did. He just went into the lab and just perfected his ball striking so that he hit it super cleanly, super consistently. And when he did that, that added a ton extra distance. So now, you know, that was always kind of the knock, right? Okay, he's super accurate, but plus 50, we don't know. You know, he didn't get many opportunities plus 50, but now he's drilling 53 yarders, 54 yarders like it's nothing. And yeah, like you said, having a reliable kicker like that is just so underrated. We see it all across the NFL that kicks just aren't a given. Bears fans should know better than anybody, you know. Kicks aren't a given. There was a long period in between Robbie Gould and Cairo Santos now where the team just couldn't find that guy. And now they've got him. So, yeah, in my opinion, they should probably keep him.
Yeah, we know how important kick can be. We saw Will Lutz almost lose the game just the other day, and obviously he got another chance to make the best of that. But you know what, Alex? You just kicked a 63-yarder in your segment right here. It was absolutely phenomenal, man. We appreciate you hanging out with us tonight. Have a great one.
Appreciate you too, Gabe and Ant. You have a great rest of your night.
Alex Shapiro, Bears beat reporter for NBC Sports Chicago, hanging out with us. Also host of the Under the Center podcast. Make sure you guys check that one out as well. It's Gabe Ramirez. It's Anthony Herron. On the other side, I wanted to, because we're going to be talking to Andy Martinez at the top of the 8 o'clock hour, Ant. And I wanted to play the cut of Ozzie Guillen talking about Craig Counsell. And what he thought about him in comparison with David Ross. So we'll play that and react to it on the other side. It's Gabe Ramirez, Anthony Herron, right here on The Score.
I was shocked, not because they hired our counsel. I was shocked because they fired Rossi.
Ozzie Guillen speaking his truth. Actually, I should just say Ozzie Guillen speaking. Because that's all he does, right, is speak his truth. It's Gabe Ramirez, Anthony Herron here on 670 The Score. And that's exactly what I wanted to chat about. We're going to be talking to Andy Martinez from the Marquee Sports Network, one of my favorite Cubs minds to talk to. Just super, super knowledgeable, knows the organization from the very bottom of A all the way to the top. I mean, just an almanac with that stuff. So I'm excited to talk to him. But it was interesting, right, Ant, to hear, you know, Ozzie talk about, do you think he felt that way because he felt like he was doing a good enough job? Or do you feel like he kind of was internalizing a little bit of that, like being the guy from the team that gets let go, you know, without warning.
I think both things could probably end up being a factor there. And Craig Counsell is obviously an exceptional manager who's won big at the major league level for a while here and done so right here in this region. So there's so many things about the hire that make sense. But my impression is that, you know, Ozzie didn't – he was basically trying to make the case almost like what we've been trying to remind folks about the discussion at quarterback for the Bears, Justin Fields and Tyson Bagent. You know, if you want to tell people, like, you know, you don't have to act like Tyson Bagent is about to enter the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Yes, he did well. He's done some nice things. But it doesn't necessarily mean that he's definitively the guy who gives the Bears a better chance to win than Justin Fields. It also doesn't mean you're anointing Justin Fields. Like, everybody can be viewed within their own context. And my impression of what Ozzie's saying is that viewing David Ross in his context, he's been a guy who's handled the locker room at a really high level, well-liked by his players, and showed the ability to grow as he got more experience on the job and showed the ability to grow with that squad in the way he led the Cubs last season as they started to resource the team a little bit better. Then David Ross was able to win at a higher level. Yes, it tapered off at the end of last season. But I think he went on to kind of explain, like, this, you know, Craig Counsell is a good manager who's won a lot, hadn't won a World Series, though. So by comparison, yes, he's done more over a longer period of time than David Ross has as a manager, but I think his basic point is that David Ross is also a quality manager, and, you know, until further notice, is not definitively some sort of big upgrade, a sizable upgrade from Counsell to Ross. Now, I think, you know, one resume speaks for itself for what Counsell has gotten done, but, you know, I think Ozzie knows it as well as anyone. Like, a manager, the impact that a baseball manager has game by game is different than it is in some other sports here. So I didn't take it as much as a, you know, as any kind of like an anti Craig Counsell point, as much as a, you know, David Ross has done some nice things here once they started to give him some more to work with. So there's a good chance the Cubs may have been fine even with Rossi continuing on, right, without making this move.
Right. I agree with you, Ann, right? It was certainly from that angle. And I think that, you know, let's not forget, you know, you brought it up, right? That, clearly he was given more talent this last year than he had ever been given. And he, you know, got as close as he possibly can get. No one came into the season thinking the Cubs were going to make the playoffs, right? So the fact that he got them that close, it was by just a couple of games, which if you go back and you look at it on a micro level and say, okay, well, I can point to 8 games that we should have won, so therefore we shouldn't have been in this position. And had I have a different manager there, you know, there'd be a different outcome. The problem is this. And this goes back to what you said about giving Rossi the talent. Cody Bellinger's not necessarily a member of the Chicago Cubs heading into next season, right? Marcus Stroman's, you know, hot start that propelled the Cubs to that conversation, you know, he potentially is not going to be here next year as well. So there is a possibility that Craig Counsell inherits a team that is inferior in talent to the one that Rossi had last year. It's not a certainty, right? Clearly, the management is trying to do everything in their power to build that roster up and give Counsell the best opportunity to win. But that's what I thought was interesting about Ozzie Guillen. And when talking about Craig Counsell, he and I shared the same sentiment that, like, it doesn't matter because he's going to have to win now. And,
you know, we better win because when you bring Joe Maddon, I remember when they bring Joe, you know, Joe got the credential, went to the World Series, do all this stuff, managed it for a long time, did it with a team, nobody told you going to do it with Tampa. Counsell did a tremendous job of his career with Milwaukee. Like a 707 win with 625 loss. He was second place 3 times. He's a manager of the year. Finished, win the division, I believe, 3 times. You know, I mean, he did a good job with they have. Not because they say, oh, we had a bad team. Not because the market in Milwaukee, it is very low. You know, it's not an impact organization on ball club. We expect to win every year. And that's why I got to give him a lot of credit because he do something nobody thought they're going to do. Now they're going to be in the biggest market, biggest media, the biggest criticized in baseball like we are. I love it. And hopefully come down and did a good, you know, better job than the Rossi did. How good it going to be? Is it paying? Depending what kind of ball club they're going to have. I remember when they hired Bochy, I was sitting with my kids. I said, Bochy will win the World Series or be fighting for the World Series award. They go, what? I said, watch. Bochy's not going to go to Texas just because the money, because it's, I think they're going to put a book, great book up for Bochy right up for him. And I think that's the same stuff they're going to deal with constantly here in Chicago.
And he's going to be dealing with the same pressures. And that's what he was really talking about in the whole thing, as Ozzy was talking to Mully and Haw here, our morning show on 670 The Score. It was that the pressure is going to exist for him to win now.
As it should be. And, you know, he didn't necessarily try to move the goalposts on that too much and say that the expectation shouldn't be there, but did say, you know, it feels close. It feels close, but not there, you know, not that we're at the finish line yet. I mean, I think your observation about the roster is a really good one, because he could on opening day. We'll see. Obviously, the expectation right. is that the Cubs are going to make some moves, but until further notice, you could have a roster that is not as talented as the one that David Ross was managing last year. So how big of a difference does Craig Counsell make if that's the case? You know, if you still don't have multiple frontline starters, if you are missing a big bat in your lineup, and, you know, if your defense is depleted as well, there are several things that can end up feeling different for the Cubs from a depth of roster perspective that maybe they're not as talented going into next season. Again, the expectation is they're about to spend, because they reportedly put this historic contract in place for their new manager. So if you're going to spend on him, there's no reason to think you're not going to, because in the end, again, baseball is the main sport that most folks look at and say the manager, the skipper, the head coach, that position in baseball impacts winning and losing at a lower rate than other sports. So if that's the case, and you're willing to put the historic contract into your skipper, there's right. no reason to think the Cubs aren't going to put some additional resources into this roster.
They're going to have to, right? And I got to say, skipper is the best synonym for coach and that exists, that does not exist in any other sport, right? Like, what else do you call a football coach? Right, like skipper is a manager in baseball, but like I'm thinking like basketball and football, you know, there's no other like
right
term,
no other like descriptor.
Yeah, that's them. Awesome.
I am not a coach. I'm the skipper.
See, oh, Dustin Rhodes right there. Love that. All right, but who are some names that could be making their way to the north side to help the new manager of the Chicago Cubs? Will it be a repeat like a Cody Bellinger? Or are there going to be some other names? Andy Martinez from the Marquee Sports Network will tell us next. Don't go anywhere. It's Gabe Ramirez and Anthony Herron on 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year, because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Get it? With the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
You know Graybar for electrical parts. But there's one more thing you may not be thinking of us for that can help maximize your next project's total value. Our pre-project planning services are designed to help you win the bid, save on labor costs, and keep your installers productive across your entire build. The sooner you call us, the better. Because when we're there from the beginning, we can anticipate your needs and help you solve problems before they become problems. Yep, Graybar does that.
I was shocked, not because they hired our counsel. I was shocked because they fired Rossi.
Ozzie Guillen speaking his truth. Actually, I should just say Ozzie Guillen speaking. Because that's all he does, right, is speak his truth. It's Gabe Ramirez, Anthony Herron here on 670 The Score. And that's exactly what I wanted to chat about. We're going to be talking to Andy Martinez from the Marquee Sports Network, one of my favorite Cubs minds to talk to. Just super, super knowledgeable, knows the organization from the very bottom of A all the way to the top. I mean, just an almanac with that stuff. So I'm excited to talk to him. But it was interesting, right, and to hear, you know, Ozzie talk about, do you think he felt that way because he felt like he was doing a good enough job? Or do you feel like he kind of was internalizing a little bit of that, like being the guy from the team that gets let go, you know, without warning?
I think both things could probably end up being a factor there. And Craig Counsell is obviously an exceptional manager who's won big at the major league level for a while here and done so right here in this region. So there's so many things about the hire that make sense. But my impression is that, you know, Ozzie didn't – he was basically trying to make the case, almost like what we've been trying to remind folks about the discussion at quarterback for the Bears, Justin Fields and Tyson Bagent. You know, if you want to tell people, like, you know, you don't have to act like Tyson Bagent is about to enter the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Yes, he did well. He's done some nice things. But it doesn't necessarily mean that he's definitively the guy who gives the Bears a better chance to win than Justin Fields. It also doesn't mean you're anointing Justin Fields. Like, everybody can be viewed within their own context. And my impression of what Ozzie's saying is that viewing David Ross in his context, he's been a guy who's handled the locker room at a really high level, well-liked by his players, and showed the ability to grow as he got more experience on the job and showed the ability to grow with that squad in the way he led the Cubs last season as they started to resource the team a little bit better. Then David Ross was able to win at a higher level. Yes, it tapered off at the end of last season. But I think he went on to kind of explain, like, this, you know, Craig Counsell is a good manager who's won a lot, hadn't won a World Series though. So by comparison, yes, he's done more over a longer period of time than David Ross has as a manager, but I think his basic point is that David Ross is also a quality manager, and, you know, until further notice, is not definitively some sort of big upgrade, a sizable upgrade from Counsell to Ross. Now, I think, you know, one resume speaks for itself for what Counsell has gotten done, but, you know, I think Ozzie knows it as well as anyone. Like, a manager, the impact that a baseball manager has game by game is different than it is in some other sports here. So I didn't take it as much as a, you know, as any kind of like an anti Craig Counsell point, as much as a, you know, David Ross has done some nice things here once they started to give him some more to work with. So there's a good chance the Cubs may have been fine even with Rossi continuing on, right, without making this move.
Right. I agree with you, Ann, right? It was certainly from that angle. And I think that, you know, let's not forget, you know, you brought it up, right? That, clearly he was given more talent this last year than he had ever been given. And he, you know, got as close as he possibly can get. No one came into the season thinking the Cubs were going to make the playoffs, right? So the fact that he got them that close, it was by just a couple of games, which if you go back and you look at it on a micro level and say, okay, well, I can point to 8 games that we should have won, so therefore we shouldn't have been in this position. And had I have a different manager there, you know, there'd be a different outcome. The problem is this. And this goes back to what you said about giving Rossi the talent. Cody Bellinger's not necessarily a member of the Chicago Cubs heading into next season, right? Marcus Stroman's, you know, hot start that propelled the Cubs to that conversation, you know, he potentially is not going to be here next year as well. So there is a possibility that Craig Counsell inherits a team that is inferior in talent to the one that Rossi had last year. It's not not a certainty, right? Clearly, management is trying to do everything in their power to build that roster up and give Council the best opportunity to win. But that's what I thought was interesting about Ozzie Guillen. And when talking about Craig Council, he and I shared the same sentiment that, like, it doesn't matter because he's going to have to win now. And,
you know, we better win because when you bring Joe Maddon, I remember when they bring Joe, you know, Joe got the credential, went to the World Series, do all this stuff, managed it for a long time, did it with a team, nobody told you going to do it with Tampa. Council did a tremendous job of his career with Milwaukee. Like a 707 win with 625 loss. He was second place 3 times. He's a manager of the year. Finished, win the division, I believe, 3 times. You know, I mean, he did a good job with they have. Not because they say, oh, we had a bad team. Not because the market in Milwaukee, it is very low. You know, it's not an impact organization on ball club. We expect to win every year. And that's why I got to give him a lot of credit because he do something nobody thought they're going to do. Now they're going to be in the biggest market, biggest media, the biggest criticized in baseball like we are. I love it. And hopefully come down and did a good, you know, better job than the Rosie did. How good it going to be? Is it paying? Depending what kind of ball club they're going to have. I remember when they hired Bochy, I was sitting with my kids. I said, Bochy will win the World Series or be fighting for the World Series award. They go, what? I said, watch. Bochy's not going to go to Texas just because the money, because it's, I think they're going to put a great ball club for Bochy right up front of him. And I think that's the same stuff they're going to deal with Council here in Chicago.
And he's going to be dealing with the same pressures. And that's what he was really talking about in the whole thing as Ozzie was talking to Mully and Haw here, our morning show on 670 The Score. It was that the pressure is going to exist for him to win now.
As it should be. And, you know, he didn't necessarily try to move the goalposts on that too much and say that the expectation shouldn't be there. But did say, you know, it feels close. It feels close, but not there, you know, not that we're at the finish line yet. I mean, I think your observation about the roster is a really good one because he could on opening day. We'll see. Obviously, the expectation right. is that the Cubs are going to make some moves, but until further notice, you could have a roster that is not as talented as the one that David Ross was managing last year. So how big of a difference does Craig Council make if that's the case? You know, if you still don't have multiple frontline starters, if you are missing a big bat in your lineup, and you know if your defense is depleted as well, there are several things that can end up feeling different for the Cubs from a depth of roster perspective that maybe they're not as talented going into next season. Again, the expectation is they're about to spend because they reportedly put this historic contract in place for their new manager. So if you're going to spend on him, there's no reason to think you're not going to, because in the end, again, baseball is the main sport that most folks look at and say the manager, the skipper, the head coach, that position in baseball impacts winning and losing at a lower rate than other sports. So if that's the case and you're willing to put the historic contract into your skipper, there's right. no reason to think the Cubs aren't going to put some additional resources into this roster.
They're going to have to, right? And I got to say, skipper is the best synonym for coach and that exists, that does not exist in any other sport, right? Like, what else do you call a football coach, right? Like, skipper is a manager in baseball, but like, I'm thinking like basketball and football, you know, there's no other like
right
term, there's
no other like descriptor.
Yeah, that's them. Awesome.
Skipper. I am not a coach. I'm the skipper.
See? Oh, Dustin Rhodes right there. Love that. All right. But who are some names that could be making their way to the north side to help the new manager of the Chicago Cubs? Will it be a repeat like a Cody Bellinger, or are there going to be some other names? Andy Martinez from the Marquee Sports Network will tell us next. Don't go anywhere. It's Gabe Ramirez and Anthony Herron on 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
When it comes to lighting, Graybar goes beyond parts and products. We help contractors turn plans into smart designs, manage kitting and deliverables, and navigate local codes so you can stay on time and on budget. Smart, scalable, job site ready. That's not just lighting. That's like kicking your project into Graybar mode. Yep, Graybar does that.